changing the momentum a little bit because I've been really excited about, you know, summer movies this year. I know you mentioned Star Trek, which was a big film that came out. Yep. But are there any other summer flicks that you're excited to go see?
I kind of want to see the new Monsters, Inc. I don't know that it's how good it's going to be because, you know, it's one of these sequel Pixar movies. It's out now, isn't it?
I don't know if it is.
Oh,
here.
Well, it's out over here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're, it'll be a little bit later here.
But I enjoy a good a Pixar movie. I liked Brave, and, you know, not everyone liked Brave so much, but I thought it was really fun. It played to my interests, I guess.
Yeah.
And Monsters, Inc. also kind of, you know, it looks fun.
Yeah.
We can't expect anything to, like, that's the thing with Pixar. It's like, I really appreciate that they're not doing a direct sequel, that they're doing kind of a, here's something else in that monster world that you enjoyed so much in Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
And that's cool. It's not this year, but I am interested in the Ninja Turtles movie. Mm. I have to admit, because like I loved Ninja Turtles as a kid, and I guess it's Michael Bay, right?
Yeah.
And the turtles aren't aliens. We got that much cleared up. And I'm not certain that it's going to be a good movie by any means. I mean, like, the Transformers movies are, deep sigh, entertaining.
Yeah.
And the thing that I guess really interests me about it is that, like, April O'Neil is a reporter, and I've been reading these not just rumors, but, like, these are confirmed, I think, like, the April O'Neil's staff, like the Vernon character and the Irma character, are in it. And I'm like, there have been all these other Ninja Turtle things since then, and I've liked some of them and I haven't liked others. And, you know, some of them I got into, some of them I didn't. You know, I'm not that excited about Ninja Turtles these days. But it's really neat to me that, like, with Transformers, it's like Transformers has constantly been changing, and the Michael Bay version of Transformers is just one more new Transformers thing.
Yeah.
It's not really tied into, you know, the original line. It's this whole thing that has been ongoing. And Ninja Turtles is this ongoing thing, but Ninja Turtles has constantly been kind of reinventing itself as well. And this time it actually is going back to that, not the original source material, but that cartoon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, will Bebop and Rocksteady finally make an appearance? Will Krang be in it? Oh my gosh. Will Shredder be played by Will Smith's dad? Whoa. This is not Will Smith's dad. Yeah, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's dad.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So
Uncle Phil.
That's
his
name.
That's not his name in real life. We're aware of that, but I got to figure that out. We'll look that up.
Yeah. So I think I'm just like, wow, are they actually going to do this? How far are they going to go? So I am in theory interested in the Ninja Turtles movie. I watched a review of the new Superman movie that kind of convinced me I don't want to go see it.
Mm.
Because their assessment was that it was incredibly dark and not very heroic and not really what anyone wants from Superman. And I'm sure that there will be people who go for that. I'm not like a big Superman fan.
Yeah.
But I watched that and I was like, yeah, I probably don't need to see this in the theater. And then I popped on Netflix and it's like, oh, there's an animated version of All-Star Superman, which is a Superman comic that I actually got because it was so highly recommended, and the animated version is really good. And I'm like, that is how you do a Superman movie, guys.
Yeah.
Because are you familiar with it?
No, but I was going to say there's a lot of good superhero cartoons on Netflix, and I watched quite a few of them last year when I had Netflix. I don't have it now, but that's cool. That's cool that you. So you like the comic books. You don't, you know, sometimes the movies kind of try to, they do darken the storylines a lot more.
Go on.
No, I was going to say, Batman's fine. Batman's a dark comic.
I don't necessarily, I'm not like a big comic book fan. Like I say, I happen to own All-Star Superman. It's probably the only Superman comic I have read since I was like 9. Mm-hmm. it's not something I pay a lot of attention to, but some friends of mine were like, All-Star Superman is really good. You've got to check this out. We're not going to tell you anything about it because we don't want to spoil anything. And I'm just like, I will take your word for it. And so I checked it out and I loved it. The gist is, should I pitch it?
Yeah, pitch it.
The gist is that Superman there's a disaster up in the sun, basically. Somebody is up there doing some research, and Superman, of course, has to come to the rescue when it starts to go awry because of interference from one Lex Luthor, right?
Like usual.
And then this is something that I guess has never been done for before, or in this particular reality, it hasn't been done before. And Superman gets cancer from being too close to the sun because he's powered up by it. He's tearing himself up inside, and he's got so much time to live. They're not quite sure how long he's going to live. And it's not like, you know, like back in the 90s when they killed Superman because some monster punched him too many times.
Yeah.
It's like Superman has to actually come to terms with the fact that he is going to die, and what is he going to do? And that's like, oh, cool. You know, I like superhero movies that are kind of like about the idea of what if there are superheroes, and the idea that a superhero knows he's going to die. And Superman of all heroes is like, that's really interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that's really cool about it is that they pull in all of these aspects that I am totally unfamiliar with. I don't know a lot about Superman, but I kind of recognize them as the sorts of things that you would have in those old Silver Age comics where Superman was really science fiction-y and going to other worlds and strange things are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just pulls in characters that are really weird. Just kind of left and right as needed, and it introduces them exactly to the extent that you need them introduced, and not a little bit more. There's no, you don't need to know who this guy is because you will know immediately.
Yeah.
Like what this, it's like a video game character, you know, you see the Heavy from Team Fortress and you know what he's about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same kind of characters and the same, and that writing is really good. And like people were all like with the Avengers, which I thought was a great movie. They were only able to do it because they already introduced all these characters. And it's like, no, we know who all these characters are.
Mm-hmm.
My dad knows who Thor is. Yeah. Come on. they kind of did have to introduce some stuff because like the Loki, I might not have known that Loki was Thor's brother and that they hate each other. And I don't know anything about that cube, but they could have done something like that, I think, without necessarily needing to spend all this time introducing all these characters. But I felt like that did that really well. And then the movie takes, or the animated adaptation of All-Star Superman takes just kind of the core stories from All-Star Superman, the ones that really need to tie in together. And it just does those. It throws out the other ones, which I thought was too bad because I like those too. But it made a nice little cohesive film. And it's not for everybody because you do have to kind of be on it, and you have to have that certain geeky mentality where you're like, I want to figure out what this guy's deal is.
Yeah.
I don't mind the fact that these characters just showed up out of the blue and I'm supposed to know who they are.
Yeah.
It could be confusing to some, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I initially found it in the comic. I found it a little confusing, but I was happy to be confused in that way.
Yeah.
So
yeah, a mystery. There's nothing wrong with a little bit mystery. I think nowadays people want it to know everything, and I'm perfectly okay.
Well, that's
with
what Wikipedia is for.
Yeah. Exactly. I do that all the time. I spent, I spent about 2.5 hours a couple weeks ago researching Marvel characters because I had played the new free-to-play game that came out. And I had, you know, these guys would show up. I'd be like, this is fan service. You should be excited. I have no idea. You know, because I like comic books. I like the idea of comic books. I'm definitely not on top of comic books like, you know, some other people are. And sometimes I feel guilty about that, but there's so much to like absorb, and I mean, my brain has only so much capacity for geek knowledge, you know, and I reserve mine for, random bullshit, you know, and H.P. Lovecraft stuff, and I only have so much space left over, so I have to kind of, you know, pick and choose what I want to do. So I know maybe 25% of the things that I should know, and I'm okay with that. And I think that, but the thing with Netflix is, you know, I caught up with some superhero stories because of those cartoons that came out. You know, there was Planet Hulk and there was an Avengers movie and that kind of stuff. And it's kind of nice that you can get those little, you know, pieces of it's, I mean, it is history almost at this point, you know, in terms of entertainment, and be able to have a conversation with people and not feel like, I mean, you feel ostracized if you don't. You know, like, oh, what do you mean you don't know where, you know, who Captain Marvel
well, and I think
stuff, you know?
That's that sort of that geek. I read the webcomic, what's it called, Our Valued Customers, which are allegedly actual things that people said in a comic shop, and they're outrageous.
Really?
But there's kind of a whole genre of people who will say things like, that kid, like there's one where it's like this neckbeard, this big fat jerk, you know, and he's like, He's like, I don't care that I made that kid cry. He's way too young to know anything about Superman. Jeez, yeah. And it's like there's this sense that, you know, I know everything there is to know about this aspect. And instead of wanting to share that, you know, with other people, or they do want to share it, but it comes out in this sort of defensive, aggressive kind of, oh, well, you should have known this.
Yeah.
And it's just an unfortunate quality that nerds sometimes have.
Yeah.
That instead of figuring out a way to share what's great about what they have, and it's hard, you know, people don't always want to hear about All-Star Superman, but yep. but like I my mom told me, consider your audience.
Yeah.
In all things. Like if I'm talking about if I want to tell my mom about a video game, I have to figure out a way to frame it for my mom, you know, or how am I going to make this interesting for this person?
Yeah.
And so I can understand how this sort of this, oh yeah, they're not interested, so I'm all defensive. Oh well, if you were interested, you should have found out on your own.
Yeah, like you're not cool enough to be interested in the first place or something along those lines. Like,
you should have read 300 issues worth of all this knowledge.
No way to catch up.
And it's
to
like
that.
Well, it's like there's no way that even half of those 300 issues are good, you know.
Yeah.
Like there it's I mean, there the you know, worst episode ever.
Yeah.
it's like no one who watches Simpsons or even like the good, you know, the quote unquote good Simpsons, the, you know, like the early stuff. It's like you wouldn't really say that, oh, you have to watch every episode of Simpsons.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about this. Let me give you a list of episodes to watch.
Yeah.
You know, let me pick and choose the things that you should check out. And that's kind of how I got into All-Star Superman, was kind of like, well, here's a comic you should definitely check out.
Yeah.
Like Batman Dark Knight Returns is a comic that people should definitely check out. It's really good. Hellboy, I think people should check out Hellboy. But I don't know a lot about comics, to tell you the truth. And I'm always up for being told, you know, here's one comic you should definitely read.
Yeah.
And you know, don't read all the issues. Just read, get this trade paperback right here. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
And because there's so much comic stuff out there, it's like you can... there's all that garbage and it's like there's all these great things tucked in there, and I'm not saying it's all garbage, but yeah. You know,
there's some garbage out there. That's okay.
Yeah.
There's so much, you know, people,
and you can enjoy that garbage. It's
for
cool.
Garbage, you know, people like that kind of weird shit. Or
some people love to sort through garbage.
Yeah. There's a television show dedicated to
it. It's worth it when you find that really good element.
Yeah.
Or when you make a connection, like you're like, oh, so, or if you're going back through these old things, it's like, man, this is stupid, but oh, so that's how it happened, you know, or so I made that connection. I got to see that thing that mattered to me for some reason.
Well, I mean, that's with comic books, with movies, with video games, it's like there is something for everybody. If you can't find some mean in every form of media, I mean, there is something that everybody's going to like. There's people that are just completely against video games, don't want to have anything to do with it. But there is some, I mean, my wife doesn't like video games, but I showed her a Zoo game and she was interested for an hour. But that's still, you know, that's good enough, you know, and there's so much. And to be an expert on any of it, I don't know. It's intimidating. I feel like. I've got some better things I can do with that brain space, you know.
My wife loves Animal Crossing.
Yep, there you go.
Why not?
And Sims, I know Sims is a huge one. One of the other guys on the site, their wife, constantly plays that game. So I mean, again, like that. And I hate to say it, like, you know, women don't usually like video games. I know, you know, women do play a lot of video games. The women that I know don't play any video games, so they're that stereotypical, you know, anti-geek type stuff. And so it's kind of cool, you know, when if I can get my wife to play anything for longer than, you know, 15 minutes, that's success. And that says a lot about, you know, the kind of stuff that's coming out.
If I may say so, if I may plug my wife, is actually, she's not so much into it now, but she was really into comics. Mm. She knows more about Marvel, specifically Marvel. She's no DC. She knows more about any Marvel character than I could. She's got, especially X-Men. she's got all that background is in her brain, in her nerd brain space. And it's like, if I want to, if I'm like, who's that character? She'll be like, oh, that's so-and-so. Here's his deal. There's people like all kinds of things.
Well,
all kinds
of
people.
Does she ever get challenged on her knowledge? I know that
sometimes I'll ask her a tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily that it's going to be a tough one, but she had this poster with like every Marvel character ever on it. And every now and then I'd be all like, who's that guy? And eventually I'd get one that she's like, I don't really know who that is.
So you're not but, as good as you thought you were with Marvel.
Yeah. History. Well, she wasn't, you know, boasting about it.
Yeah. People do. I know somebody who actually has, I'm sure it's probably the same one because is it the poster with every single, I mean, every character on there, they could name all of them. And it was like, damn, like, I don't know if I'm impressed or I want to like pull them aside and say, hey, you know, there's some other stuff you could be doing right now. You know?
Well, on the other hand, just think he got his money's worth out of that poster.
Absolutely.
He had to look all those people up.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a long
it's a valuable,
time.
It's a valuable brain exercise. It's like, keeping the chemical, periodic table of the elements up as a poster, like just in case you forgot. Yeah. Oh yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Sodium, table salt.
Oh, geez.
That's a noble gas there.
I couldn't even tell you. Oh man, I feel so dumb when it comes to the periodic table. I could name a few. That's a bad thing. But I've got Wikipedia has been like my second brain.
Yeah.
And we went back, you know, going back to talk about the Oculus Rift and that kind of stuff. I've actually started navigating Berlin like with a map because I'm like I need to be able to do it myself because I feel so. You know, like the internet was out for a really long time, and I how do you navigate? How do you get, you know, on the train and go from point A to point B? And so, like, I've been like, you know, navigating myself, and I feel like, oh, I'm good. Like, I know my directions. This is great. And then I'm like, well, yeah, but I could easily just go on Google and look them up. And I'm just, there's a few things that I don't want to rely on technology to do
but
for
yeah,
me.
Sometimes you know? You don't have Google.
But yeah, exactly. That's exactly. And I want Google in my brain, but oh my gosh, I can't do it. It's too much stuff. Yeah. Too much useless shit.
Google Maps is still really great for kind of learning how to use a map in general.
Yeah.
Like this is a really basic step, but, not just learning which way, you know, north is or that, but being able to kind of look at a map and discern that even though you're facing the wrong way, you still know what corresponds to directions on the map. Like you don't have to like turn it upside down. I used to get thrown by Google Maps. I'm all like, well, that's down there.
Yeah.
But so it must be behind me or like I would get confused on these things. And there you kind of have to train yourself to think in that kind of God perspective.
Yeah.
Even for just a behind me or like I would get confused on these things and there you kind of have to train yourself to think in that kind of God perspective even for just a paper map.
Well, like, and let's just say that in the beginning being here I wound up in an area of Berlin that I probably shouldn't have been in. So it's always very useful to know exactly where you're going and what direction, you know, is which way. So, you know, always got to learn lessons and learn lessons like that.
When I was in Japan, I had a little map of the city I was living in and I didn't know which way north and south was. And I didn't know which way they were on the map.
Uh-huh.
I just assumed.
Yeah.
And so I would just kind of turn it to be like the way I thought it was. And it's like, oh yeah, I know where all these things are, but I'm all like, that's funny that this map is like north and south are upside down. that's weird. That must be a Japanese thing. Or maybe it's just the map. And then I realized like I wasn't even deliberately thinking that, but I was it's kind of like this map's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then like later on, like I got on Google Maps or something and I zoomed out of the area and I was like, whoa. So that's why that lake was the ocean. I didn't realize.
Walk quite the distance on that.
I was really being kind of, didn't know what I was looking at.
Well, and
over
here,
I still kind of have this view that, well, that way there's south.
Well,
and I could have just looked at the sun. I would have figured it out.
Well, that's what I want to be able to navigate by looking at the sun, and I want to be able to identify plants that I can eat safely in the wilderness. Those are my two goals for all of life. And if I can
you're prepared for that killer robot scenario.
I tell you what, I'm up at night sometimes just, you know, screaming to myself, you know, and my wife will be like, what's wrong? I'm like, robots. Just robots, and she's like, "God damn it! Like, stop watching."
Is this a serious fear?
You know, I joke about it because I don't know. geez, you know, who knows?
You should educate yourself about robots, because they're not all bad.
Well, I like the good ones. I came to grips with the idea of being. I looked into getting a robotic vacuum, the Roomba. Because, you know, I've got cats and cats shed, and it's really tough to vacuum like every single day. Actually, it's annoying to vacuum every single day. And so, you know, I really did have almost like a self intervention where I kind of came to grips with the fact that not every robot is out to get me. You know, some robots
are very few of them are.
there's a very, you know, small slice that actually want to kill me. And those are still a few, you know, 20 years down the line. And then you watch Wall-E and you realize, yeah, Wall-E's sweet. Yeah, well, you know, Wall-E's a good robot.
Well, and it's that robots can only do what they're programmed to do.
Yeah.
And if a robot reprograms itself and goes on a killing spree, it's because it was programmed to be able to reprogram itself. And that's why we have all these science fiction stories to kind of be aware of, well, hold on now, I've read some stories about these killer robots, and let's make sure that this one can't kill people.
Yeah.
So I think just the technology, like I am really interested in, robot locomotion and all that, and like how these robots can move around and stuff. And like, there's that big dog thing that the military is working on. That's the four-legged thing. And, you know, and it's like, oh, amazing. Even if you kick it really hard, it doesn't fall over, but it's never going to sneak up on you because it's super loud. There's all these, there are so many hurdles to get over that I don't feel threatened. I'm not going to feel threatened by any robots within my lifetime because they're going to have so many weaknesses. They're not going to be able to chase you up a hill. You're going to hit them with are they waterproof? You know, there's so many things that can happen to a robot that they're not prepared for. I'm far more worried about zombies. I mean, if I'm going to be worried about something ridiculous, it's like, yeah, robots aren't high on that list. But on the other hand, when we look at it from the perspective, suppose we can make some kind of robot puppet thing that is controlled by a human being, and we don't have to have it programmed. It just has to respond. Like, we don't have to worry about balancing it because the human is going to balance it, and they're going to control it through their Oculus Rift, and they don't know that they're using those robots to kill real people. Well,
see, you had me feeling better, and then you just flipped it. Now I'm even more frightened because humans are inherently evil sometimes.
That's
you know?
Right. That's right. It's like I'm more worried about humans or undead humans than I'm not worried about undead humans.
Well, what about undead humans?
Because I know a lot about biology too.
Well, yeah, I guess that is.
I think zombies are really interesting because of like all of the things that can go wrong there too. I'm more interested in like poking holes in it, and it all depends on the zombies because it's like, are these slow zombies? Are they stupid zombies? Are they fast?
Yeah.
Are they actually vampires? Like in that one movie with Will Smith, there's all these sort of unknowns about it. But my big thing with like the undead is it's like, well, they're rotting away.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things in the world that love to eat things that are rotting away.
Yeah.
And as long as we don't get, as long as the whatever it is that's making them zombies doesn't get passed to those things, then the zombie outbreak will not last long because
I was going to say we had a podcast about zombies like 2 years ago I'm kind of a zombie nut and you know, Justin, the editor in chief said, you know, Ethan, what's your strategy? Or he asked me and he asked somebody else and they gave this big, like, you know, I'm gonna get chainsaws and all this kind of stuff. And he said, well, Ethan, what's your strategy? You know, expecting me to have this, you know, unbelievable, you know, nutty Hollywood type approach to fighting zombies. And I said, you know, patience. I think I'm just going to wait for a little while. You know, if it's wintertime, they're going to get stuck anyway. And if it's summertime, they will be nothing but bones in, you know, a little over 2 weeks. So we should be fine. But still, I don't know, in the back of my head, I'm always prepared for the worst case scenario. Yeah. I'm not prepared for, you know, I don't know how to do stock. And I you know, I'm not really a small business owner. But when it comes to, mythological creatures, I feel prepared enough. You know, I can get by at least during the first couple weeks. Hopefully, I don't know.
Hopefully, our extensive knowledge of fictional creatures will come in handy one day. I sure hope vampires can't cross running water.
There's a lot of us. I guess, you know, now that you think about it, there's a lot of assumptions based on fiction that we've made. I mean, vampires, for all we know, may need to be pinched. Maybe that's the only way to kill them. And maybe, you know, they're not so afraid of sunlight. See, that's now I'm scared to death. Now I'm not going to be able to.
Sorry.
That's okay. You know, it's probably not a bad thing. I could practice a whole variety of techniques against robots, zombies, and all those horrible apocalyptic creatures.